Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I am Danielle Tate, the Maternal Medical Director of TIPQC. Today's discussion will feature our Maternal Project poster winners from the recent TIPQC annual meeting last month. We're excited to have them both here to share their research efforts and successes. We are grateful as well to have them join us to discuss their expertise in the research area. Joining us today, we have Stephanie Hartwig, who is the research coordinator with Vanderbilt Firefly Clinic, as well as Tiffany Lewis, who is the Women's Center Manager at Vanderbilt Tullahoma Hardin Hospital. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Dr. Tate.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, congratulations to you for the amazing quality improvement work that you've done and being such an example for everyone in the state on how to move the needle forward with QI research, which I think we can all agree at times can be a journey. We'll just leave it at that, correct? But it's such a fulfilling, to me, fulfilling part of research because it's real-time impact that we see. So congratulations to you. Well, Stephanie, let's start with you. You were awarded Top Women and Children's Professional Category winner for your project at the Firefly Clinic, and it was entitled Increasing Appointment Adherence in an Outpatient OB Substance Use Disorder Clinic. Can you tell us more about this project?
Thank you, Dr. Tate. Yes. So as you mentioned, I work with the Firefly Clinic and we provide prenatal, postpartum, well women, and substance use disorder care for women with substance use disorders. So this quality improvement project really stemmed from data point we were seeing. So we were seeing patients miss over 19% of scheduled visits, including our new patient consults, as well as return appointments. We worked with Dr. David Johnson on the data, and when we saw that approximately a fifth of our visits weren't attended, really invigorated the team to find solutions to close that gap. So between September of 22 and June of 23, we implemented three low burden strategies to try to improve visit attendance. So those included welcome calls to new patients who are scheduled for conflict visits so we could tell them more about the program, answer questions about what they could expect from that first visit and program involvement, and also to assess care access barriers, things like transportation, that we could maybe provide resources for to help them get to that first appointment. We also set up regular calls with our residential treatment facilities in the area where we had mutual patients. This allowed us to adequately communicate about visits, so making sure that their staff had patient visits on their calendar, that transportation was arranged, and also so that we could, if there were multiple patients at the same facility, try to consolidate those visits on the same day or around the same time to reduce burden at the residential facility to make best use of their staff time as well. And lastly, we did an overhaul of our consult visit structure. So that very first visit at the clinic necessitates a lot of information gathering, as does intake visits for any department. And we have a larger team. So gathering information by several members of our team, and it could be really overwhelming for new patients who weren't used to working with a multidisciplinary team. So we restructured the first visit to capture only the necessary medical and psychosocial information to meet prescribing and safety requirements, and kind of shifted the more robust prenatal education, social work assessments and peer recovery support specialist tasks to the second visit or other return visits. You know, as a trauma-informed organization, it really felt necessary to make those changes to better align with our own programmatic goals and to reduce patient burden during a potentially really difficult time coming into, you know, a clinic with new providers. They're, you know, maybe newly pregnant, they're in recovery. So we wanted to be really cognizant of that delicate intersection. And right now, our no-show rate for all visit types, so new clinic intakes as well as return visits, has dropped to about 15%. And it continues to drop. We've seen that sustained for about a year now. And all three of the interventions are still ongoing. So it's a really exciting project that we were able to implement.
Absolutely. That is tremendous work. And I know that this kind of just crosses all the aspects of quality improvement, checks all the boxes in all ways. So I'm sure administration is happy because the no-show rate is down. Patients are happy because they feel like a person and not just a name. Providers, I'm sure the community, I mean, you cross all the ends and left no stone unturned when it comes to patient care. And I know this patient population just in general is such a special one. So that's amazing you're able to do this work. And I can see it being duplicated in other areas of OB care with other special populations.
Yeah, definitely. I really think that kind of leads into one of the aspects of doing QI work is how can other institutions or programs kind of replicate that success? And given that we were able to see such a tremendous improvement over the three interventions, I would really urge other clinical or hospital teams to take a look at low burden interventions that they could implement with current staff. I think that was one of the reasons that we were so successful and able to sustain the interventions for several years now is because we didn't have to hire new staff to get them off the ground and keep them going. And these interventions didn't put a strain on our current staff's workload, so it wasn't really an undue burden for them. We were able to leverage the skill sets of the staff members that we already had on the team, in particular areas of communication, problem solving, and resource sharing. And they really don't require a lot of additional time or effort to implement or sustain. The biggest lift for our team was restructuring the consult visit, really narrowing down what was the most important information to have at that first visit and what could be shelved for a later visit. But after, you know, retraining staff on procedures for those visits, it's, you know, set up and it runs itself. So we're really lucky that we had such success with these interventions.
That's great. And one of the other beauties of QI work, right? It's tailored. If that's a real word, you can tailor it to the needs and the, you know, capacity capabilities of your organization. Really easy, right? Well, Tiffany, we don't want to leave you out of the conversation. Lewis, our other guest today, congratulations to you. You were the top poster for nursing category winner at our annual conference. Can you tell us more about your project that's entitled Maternal Positioning to Reduce C-Section Rate?
Thank you for this opportunity to share, first of all. So our project is maternal positioning to reduce primary cesarean rates. And we really embarked on this journey because in the fourth quarter of 2022, our null Paris term singleton cesarean delivery rate rose to 38.5%, which was very alarming to us because previously we had had a great history of meeting the goal of 23.6% or less. So we said, what are some low-cost, nurse-driven ways that we can fix this issue? And we really identified opportunities for nursing education and skill improvement that were related to supportive care and physiological strategies to help babies move through the pelvis appropriately. So the first thing that we had to do was get funding to send two nurses to physiological birth classes. The second thing that we did was, after we got that approval for funding, we had nurses in our department that were interested in attending that training fill out an application. And part of that application said, if you go to this class, you'll come back and you'll share the information you learn with other staff. You'll create tips and tricks binders and also incorporate this into our prenatal education. And so we had two nurses that we were able to send, and they came back, and over 80% of our nursing staff did get to attend the training that they provided. And as part of our sustainment, we also have all new hires attend that same training. And we have position guides not only in our tips and tricks binder, but also in every room. So not only the nurses can see it, but also the patients can see it, and they're involved as well. We also were able to send nurses to spinning babies classes and have implemented positioning into our simulation drills. So overall, our goal was to get at or below that 23.6% mark. And at the end of the third quarter of 2023, we actually were at 18.8%. So we had exceeded our goal. And final numbers at the end of the first quarter of 2024, we're around 13%. So we still continue to exceed our goal, which we're very proud of. And that really is just the basics of what we've done.
Wow. The exemplary work. So I definitely do not want to downplay any of that at all, because that is an amazing feat that you've done as a team to go from 38% of a rate to 13%. Wow.
Yeah. Right?
And when we talk about pregnancy care and maternal health and everything about, you know, the care of a person that's pregnant, delivery is definitely relevant. It's definitely something we all deal with as a priority in this field that we're in. And all I can say is my hat's off to you. I mean, my jaw's dropping over here that you guys did such amazing work. But in listening to the steps that you took to get to success, it all makes sense. And it sounds like you were able to listen to your team, do things that made sense and were relevant to patient care, and to just include and empower everyone to take ownership of patients and do their part paid off tremendously.
Yes, that was very important to us. And having a nursing champion has been so vital to the process. So Ashley Jordan is our nursing champion for this project, and she has been so instrumental in the success of the project and educating staff, creating tips and tricks binders, teaching our prenatal classes. She just goes above and beyond as a nurse. And she's also on call basically 24/7 for any nurses who have labor dystocia questions, positioning questions, really anything that staff have questions about. They know they can reach out to her, text or call. So we're lucky to have her.
Tiffany, can you speak just a little bit more to how your administration has embraced the changes, the creation of a nurse champion, how they've supported just the work that you're doing in order to continue the success?
So we actually are very lucky that we have a really strong nurse governance system here at Vanderbilt. And the shared governance allows nurses to participate in many processes. But when we brought our idea to nursing administration to get funding, it helps that we bring the numbers of overall how much cesareans are costing our patients, our facility, our community, especially in a rural community. That's something that's very important to me, is how is this affecting our patients overall? They're the number one focus. And having those numbers versus what it costs to send nurses to a class and have them teach other nurses was very important. And that is something that we used in our proposal to get the funding. And then it also helps that we could also focus on regulatory and CMS requirements and the WHO. So all the things that we know, the organizations that give us our numbers. So we had that to back us up as well. And we're just very lucky that we have support from nursing administration looking at all those things. And they allow us to do quality improvement projects. And they really see how important our patients are to us.
It's great to have that support. And you bring up a really great point of knowing your stakeholders and knowing what matters most to them. And, you know, you pivot the discussion based on the priorities, but they are all priorities. It's just maybe a little different to the different team members and stakeholders. So that's amazing. Well, Stephanie, you mentioned this Firefly project again, that was just on all levels, community, within the clinic, the hospital, and bringing everyone together. Can you discuss more just your multidisciplinary team approach and how that really benefited the project?
Having a multidisciplinary team approach this project was really beneficial. So we work with providers, including OBGYNs, women's health nurse practitioners, social workers, peer recovery specialists, and nurses are all involved in the team, and we're all involved in coming together to think about how we could approach this problem. There's a lot of experience working at the intersection of obstetrics, gynecology, and substance use disorders. And everyone on the team really just cares about giving the best possible care to our patients. And a key component of being able to care for our patients is actually making sure that they're able to come to visit so we can provide that medical care, social support, and peer support. So while collectively everyone, you know, has the goals of providing adequate prenatal care, postpartum care, substance use disorder care, each discipline on the team plays a different part in making that happen. And, you know, came into the problem-solving conversation with a different lens. So we were able to brainstorm things that, you know, the current staff on the team could reasonably take on given their current workload and expectations and ethical considerations for their particular licenses. And we were also really able to hone in on the program's personal mission of trauma-informed care to really strategize ways that we could make changes on our end to facilitate visit attendance. So having broad perspectives in the room for these conversations really meant that we were able to have thoughtful and productive conversations about where responsibility for visit attendance really fell, and we were able to identify three different domains. So the patients themselves, residential facility partners, and the Firefly Clinic and the program staff itself, which really highlights the three different interventions that we chose, one to approach each of those domains. So it helped us to have so many different perspectives in the room who are looking at responsibility for coming to appointments and participating in medical care from a different lens. So that really helped us narrow down our focus.
That's great. And it all makes sense to approach in all those levels to assure success. Tiffany, when looking at your project, I know you've mentioned, you know, you kind of looked at all facets, national organizations, the community around you. Are there any particular helpful resources that you could highlight for us looking into this project and other areas around the state or even the world?
So shout out to TIPQC for really helping with so many things. We took advantage of the Quality Improvement Bootcamp. That is, I highly recommend it to anyone who has the chance to attend. And then I really believe also our participation in the Promotion of Vaginal Delivery Initiative through TIPQC also helped our numbers. The networking was invaluable. And also TIPQC funded the spinning babies attendance of four of our nurses. And we've been able to teach our nurses who weren't able to go to that course about that. And then the bundle birth physiological birth training is actually the physiological birth education that we sent our two nurses to. So those were really great resources available to us that we were able to utilize.
Well, I am so happy to see, and I can tell you my team will be happy to hear as well, that TIPQC was able to provide some invaluable resources. I'll tell you, as an OBGYN myself, I felt like they were amazing resources to make sure the state was able to have for use, and so glad that it was able to benefit your team and your patients. Stephanie, I know with everything that you've talked about, all the amazing work and the accomplishments that you've seen so far, it just makes sense that this is going to continue on. But what do you see as being the long-term impact of the work that you're doing there in the Firefly Clinic?
So like we've talked about, our clinic provides care and support to like a really vulnerable population at a really important intersection of life. And I think we all really understand the importance of receiving early and adequate prenatal care, attending postpartum visits, getting annual well woman checkups, and obtaining substance use disorder treatment. But for women with substance use disorder, it can be a lot harder to access these services, especially for women who had previous poor interactions with the medical system. So we strive to be a stigma-free environment for these patients where they can receive the services that they need to improve their own health, have a healthy pregnancy, delivery, and child. But in order to care for these patients, we really have to make sure that they're able to actually get in the door to the clinic, that they're able to come to visits. And this quality improvement project has allowed us to look at ways where we can empower patients and give them the information and resources that they need to make that happen on their end, but also look at our own community partnerships and our own program to really see where we can change to facilitate this for patients so it's not a burden all on their own, that we're really looking at this holistically as a team from community resources, the clinic providing the care and the patients themselves, that we're all working together on this issue. And then broad picture, long-term, improving visit attendance for new patients and existing patients means we have a better shot of improving maternal and infant health for women with substance use disorders. And I just guess looking a little more narrowly, we can provide better prenatal care during pregnancy if patients are able to attend more visits. We can, you know, give them better postpartum support for things like postpartum depression and anxiety screening if we're able to get them to attend postpartum visits. And also for women with substance use disorders, that first year postpartum is when most people are likely to have a return to use. So if we're able to support them during that really critical, stressful transition period into parenthood, well, be able to, you know, support them through that transition. And, you know, being able to see patients more frequently during the postpartum period, we'll be able to provide continuity for medications for things like opioid use disorder, provide psychosocial support, give them peer recovery support for their journey, and ultimately have an impact on reducing risk of overdose and death and maternal morbidity and mortality. So that's really the end goal here. It starts with getting them into the clinic so that we can provide this care and these resources to these patients.
Literally life-changing work, right? It doesn't stop with the delivery of the baby, which is just an amazing feat again. Tiffany, all the great work that you've done, what pearls of wisdom do you have for those listening who are now invigorated and motivated to take this project on, or who may be in the midst of the project and just maybe need just those very much so wise words of how to be successful?
I would say if you're first starting, it can be overwhelming, but we actually have so many resources available to us that you might not even think about or know about. TIPUC is very helpful in quality improvement work. I would say if you have something that you want your hospital to work on that is one of the TIPQC projects or initiatives, definitely jump right in. And I also recommend taking advantage of any of the classes that they offer. And then also your own hospitals. You might have a quality improvement or nursing research department that you don't even know about. And I am lucky to work where we do have one of those. I'm endlessly grateful for their expertise and their knowledge. They're always so eager to help with any quality improvement initiatives that we have. And networking is so important. Especially women's health is a small world. And through TIPQC projects, we're able to network, but also thinking outside of that, we have AWON here, and I love going to like the Middle Tennessee chapter meetings for AWON because different hospitals have staff members that attend, and I get to discuss with them things that are going on and realize, hey, we're all experiencing the same problems in different ways. We have different patient populations, different staff populations, and I can think of their problems that they're having, ask what solutions have you come up with, and then it gets me to thinking, how can I implement those solutions in a way that work for my patient population and my staff? So I just think it's important really that we're all working together and that we're all here to support each other and that we do have resources in that way.
Such great advice. Stephanie, do you have any advice for those listening in and definitely would love their version of a Firefly Clinic?
Well, Dr. Jessica Young is an incredible resource and is our Firefly Medical Director and has been just championing providing care to this population in Middle Tennessee for about a decade now. But I would say I could speak more to getting patients in the door, and Dr. Young would be able to speak more to starting a program. But looking to start a clinic similar or a program similar to this would really be looking at the wraparound support services that this patient population needs, which is not just medical care, that our OBGYNs, our women's health nurse practitioners, our addiction medicine specialists provide, but the support that social workers give in being able to provide resources for people experiencing housing insecurity or food insecurity, or helping support patients through previous Department of Children's Services involvement. We also provide peer recovery support, and peer recovery specialists are individuals with lived experience with substance use disorder who've gone through special training. So they're there to walk this journey with our patients, and our nurses who provide wonderful medical support and help usher them through this journey of pregnancy, delivery, and postpartum care. So as I alluded to before, our multidisciplinary team, I think, is really critical for anyone looking to implement a similar program, is that these particular patients have a lot of needs, medical and psychosocial, but it is really possible in an outpatient setting to implement something like this with resources and staff that are likely already available at institutions. I mean, Vanderbilt utilizes peer recovery specialists on the inpatient side. The Vanderbilt Psychiatric Hospital utilizes peers in their work to support those patients. So we're just making it more visible and more applicable in an outpatient setting. And then as for this quality improvement project, like I said, we leverage the skills of staff that we already had without putting undue burden on them. And they're already very busy providing, you know, important support to the patients in our clinic already. But these were small ways that we could help support new patients or existing patients to get them into clinic visits. So calling new patients and assessing care barriers or meeting with our residential facilities is really a low burden intervention. And I highly recommend other clinics who are struggling with getting patients in the door looking to see if there's something like that that could be implemented and sustained long term. It's really a weekly thing assigned to one staff member that rotates. So it's not all on someone's shoulders. We've all kind of picked up the mantle of championing these efforts.
Well, I thank you both for your time today. And again, congratulations to both you, Stephanie and Tiffany, and your teams for your successes and the amazing work that you're doing, have done, and will continue to do. We thank you all for joining us today. Please see the show notes for the resources discussed in today's podcast, as well as for a link to our TIPQC annual meeting webpage, where you can view the presentations of both Tiffany and Stephanie and our other poster project presenters.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's T-I-P-Q-C.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.